Wave patterns create harmonic chords that can be read like a score of music, and the illusion of matter is strung together with electromagnetic and nuclear forces of light. Microatoms are organized, and when they are in living vibrations, they constantly repair and replace themselves. Feeding on harmony, they recognize and respond to the universe and its light energy. In this way, our beings become one with the cosmos, and we can find eternal life within the same natural frequency where resonance in sympathy maintains our connection. As light waves carry information to us, we respond according to our harmonic evolution in the octaves of time. The time continuum exists throughout galactic space, in the medium where galaxies are formed and have their being within the electromagnetic waveform of eternal light. We are an integral part of all this, and as we attain the ability of positive thinking, it will bring us into contact with the cosmic intelligence. There are some of us, though, who are still in touch with the galactic directory and can ask for help to stop the rot of this civilization. We need to understand the light of the universe. The eternal truths of life await our perception and consciousness in the realization of seven dimensions, where humankind is not unique. Then we will be able to traverse these parallel waves, where spaceships traveling in curved space can meet and fuse at a moment in time that is a point where all lines come together. The answer to space flight propulsion has been solved by Akinsevisoft-lization. The mathematical formula to control gravity has been in use within their spaceships for eons, and light emanates from these great starships as a secondary manifestation of gravity waves. They have discovered its nature and its magical properties, and have worked out a formula to harness its energy for the benefit of their civilization. Gravity waves radiate outward from the nucleus of our Milky Way galaxy, interacting with all forms of matter, keeping the stars and planets in their places by pushing them outward in the everlasting circle of speeding light that forms the vast rotating lens of our galaxy. Gravity is the push from the hub of the flattened spiral of the cosmic storm that is our galaxy. These waves are oscillating at frequencies thousands of megacycles beyond the visible light spectrum. Due to this high frequency, their general force is attractive, and electromagnetic waves react with the electrical charges and currents created within the field differentials of the spaceship's propulsion systems. Light exists throughout our galaxy, interacting harmonically with the electromagnetic waveform, the tempo geometric and the resonating, bind-soft-hyphening force of gravity, the forces of the universe that form the unified field of cosmic energy. Earth scientists still have trouble measuring it, and do not seem to be aware of this, yet this is the basis of all life throughout the Unisoft-verse. Without the unified field, we would all fly apart and end in chaos. Expansion of thought will come in the wavelength of time when the insight of humankind has reached a deeper and more spiritual level. At the present time, they are exiled on a speck of a planet out on a limb of the Milky Way galaxy, isolated in the cosmos, not knowing what they are or how they originated. Wholeness is attained within a star, a planet, a spaceship or flying saucer. A complete circle retains the wholeness of the universe or galaxy in which we all have our being. Only by becoming whole oneself, as a minute particle of the universe, can one give form to that inaccessible reality known as truth. The collective unconscious of this world is no longer in tune with the universe. The practice of religions in the East and West only continue out of habit, and they have ceased to produce any results. Overwhelming masses of people swarm over the surface of this planet, creating an image of quantity without quality. This submerges the individual, who alone must think thoughts that are capable of transforming this world. The individual is in danger of perishing in a mass-produced world where all are alike and think alike. In nature, all forms of life are different, retaining their own individual patterns of behavior and thought while remaining a part of the universe. The vibrations of nature weld all life into wholeness, as individual particles contribute to the wholeness of the atmospheres of planets. people of this planet lost contact with the universe thousands of years ago in Earth time. They are now accelerating toward the total destruction of nature and the environment. This is why they can expect nothing but chaos. The gap now is narrowing to less than 30 years in time for the survival of the planet and the way of life they have been softened to. Through stupidity and ignorance, they are destroying their natural environment, causing Earth to become a barren world devoid of beauty and life. Other so-called civilizations have done this on other planets, when they lost touch with the universe, or galactic directory. Some of us, though, are still in touch with the galactic directory and can ask for help to stop the rot of this civilization. We are family, and can turn in need to the advanced people residing in the solar system of Alpha Centauri in the constellation of Centaurus, who fathered humankind on this planet eons ago and farmed us out here, entrusting the planet to our care. We have now abused the sacred trust left to us by our forebears, who moved out into interstellar space to found a new civilization beyond the time barrier to preserve and guard the environment of our universe against other hostile civilizations. As the mind absorbs the fourth dimension of the space-time continuum, one becomes an evolved human being with understanding and love of all things. If developed as a duplication of nature, science and technology will know no bounds. There will be no energy shortages. Motivation systems can be tapped in abundance and without cost from the universe. This will facilitate construction and overcome all traffic and pollution problems across the entire planet. It would also simplify the interplanetary and inter-stellar travel that will take us to the furthermost stars. These secrets still elude scientists on Earth. Our scientists seek the clues to the natural energy of the universe with every available method of scientific research and investigation within their grasp. Yet they overlook one simple clue. Earth is a living, breathing entity. Right under their big, clumsy feet, the planet moves in orbit with perturbation, inhaling and exhaling, expanding and contracting like a variable star, creating continuous life. Throughout space, on the surface of other Earths, it is the same. All have the magnetic stuff of life, gravity and light. All are within the whole. Gravity research presents tremendous and challenging information, undreamt of in present-day science and physics, where the limit of null edge is bound and restricted to a formula of narrow and rigid conformity. This galactic force, as yet not understood, pervades our very lives, binding us all together as an integral part of the whole and involving us all into an open dialogue with the universe. Cosmic energy exists throughout our galaxy. A great spiral system of hydrogen gas clouds filled with stars and planets. Galaxies have always been. They are born from electromagnetic vortices within the minimum temperature of the void and commence to spin and form vast spiral or vortex storms, in the center of which enormous pressure will arise. As the hydrogen fog cloud evolves into a compact galaxy, heat is generated by the microatoms that are unable to penetrate the minimum temperature intergalactic space. Spinning with tremendous velocity, an ion nucleus is formed in the center, and the young galaxy becomes big hubbubbed, with gas clouds spinning toward the center. As the galaxy ages, its rotation flattens it out into a flying saucer-shaped T7 galaxy, and then into a spiral whose arms are formed and filled with stars and planets. Dust belted, the galaxy evolves and star formation continues within the halo shockwave as it sweeps through the utter blackness of the minimum temperature void of intergalactic space. The same process occurs when an eddy forms in the gas clouds, generating a more intense and compact vortex that becomes a star. Among the hydrogen atoms, many microatoms will be compressed and explode with the high temperature. In this way helium is formed. The greater the pressure and heat of the microatoms, the more explosive and elements are formed, and the hydrogen fog cloud grows into a spinning star, radiating light to the outermost limits of its system. At those limits, Planets form at smaller vortices triggered off by electric soft-nuclei from the parent vortex. The cells of the dust cloud bud forth all around their mother star, springing out in new heat explosions as the microatoms of light are condensed further, forming vibrating matter that periodically emits magma and heat residue in the form of volcanic eruptions in geometric relation to the time and light emanation of the mother vortex. Some are so close that they fuse with the mother star or with each other, forming larger planets, until the entire vortex storm settles down to a vibratory rate of harmonic interaction. Life is trig-soft-geared by electricity within planetary environments as life-giving gases and atmosphere spew forth from a planet's magma. Anomalies in grav-soft-nuclei from the parent star release magma in atomic explosions of varying intensity, the release of a star's lifeblood, enabling us all to be created out of stardust. Gravity waves push against the surface of Earth, whose mass and density depend on the magma within, the source of all light and life. Gravity sweeps outward from the nucleus of the spinning disk of our Galsoft-Axie, exerting a pressure on all nebulae, stars and planets. As our Milky Way galaxy settles down in its vibratory rate, seven spiral arms are being formed and filled with solar systems where millions and millions of planets harbor life. Our universe is everlasting, creating the light of eternity within its electromagnetic field. Light, heat and life are created in the atmospheres of planets, and in our galaxy's orbital speed and rotational velocity around the metagalaxy, a prodigious system within the depths of intergalactic void, the limitless reaches of outer space. There, the minimum temporal soft-tri controls the lives of galaxies as they orbit in continuous momentum, in ever-widening circles around the metagalaxy's electromagnetic hub. We are all electric beings within an electromagnetic universe of light that has always been and will always be. It forms and multiplies, cell upon cell throughout the infinite void, when microatoms, the ultimate parsoft-dicles, vibrate in substance to which we are attuned. All things take shape relative to this planet, whose radius has a geometrical connection with time, light and gravity. Electricity triggers the birth of galaxies, stars and planets. Gravity is created by the vortex spin of all elements in nature. So the spiral system continues, only protected from chaos and entropy by the void of minimum temperature beyond the light barrier. Humankind is born to strife on Earth, as the eternal struggle for existence manifests within the two-dimensional sphere on the surface of the planet. Territorial gains for food and living space become of primary importance, and humankind becomes violent and aggressive in an attempt to protect their domain or to seek further territory for the expanding population. Restrictive areas of living cause humans to become more aggressive and violent, and the fear of losing their domains motivates their actions. When humans are able to escape from the two dimensions of length and breadth and follow the spiritual awakening into the freedom of height in the third dimension, where there is no restriction of territory or time, they can then become gentle and humane, and seek the wider field of space. As the mind absorbs the fourth dimension of the space-time continuum, one becomes an evolved human being, with understanding and love of all things. Finding the meaning of life and why one exists as an individual brings one in tune with the universe. Then we can communicate through telepathy and the time variation of interstellar space. We can all achieve the calm serenity of the eternal presence within that divine spark of intelligence that pervades the entire universe. Harsoft-money with all is found in love, with civilizations from other realms beyond the visible light barrier to which our eyes are attuned. We are born of this universe that consists of energy and matter vibrating in varying frequencies. As we expand our consciousness, we become aware of different frequencies of attainment, where the eternal truths of life await our perception and realization of the atomic harmonic numbers of the cosmos. treading through the deep waters of personal experience where Dansoft hyphens lurked in the darkness of ignorance, I witnessed other realms beyond our world. I found the truth of supreme happiness and eternal life with a man from another world. He remains the only reality to me, within this world where the inhabitants still believe in the illusion of their singular existence within the inhabited universe. Having been through the fires of experience and attainment, Sufsoft hyphen fearing the hardships of material want in a grabbing world like Earth, brought me fortitude and endurance, courage and loyalty to an ideal of life beyond the confines of this solar system. Akan's thoughts direct me through the dangerous highways of life among people of Earth, where my work now aspires to the ideal of a better world for all people. No distance is too great for the alpha rhythm to travel between the brains of soulmates and offspring whose lives sometimes part in the quest of ultimate unity and harmony within our living universe. These Telsoft-pathic waves flash through the far distances, where gravity rules the lives of planets, to another home of life, to my beloved Akan and our son, Ailing, who was conceived on this home of life but was not born on this planet. Not for him the hazards of rocket-propelled spaceships encasing their pilots like coffins. Not for him to travel the stars wrapped in the swaddling cloth of a spacesuit and be packed like a sardine in a tin can in an endeavor to conquer space and the unknown environment beyond. What would happen to David and me now that my heart was affected by the change in time frequencies? Where would the money to live on come from? I was divorced from David's father, and my daughter from a previous marriage was living in London as she completed her medical studies. The farm was sold and strangers took over, and David and I were completely alone. Money to live is vital on this planet, so we decided to return to Johansoft-Nesberg. We drove down the track in the MG, David and I, Susan and Vicky, while covetous eyes still watched from the road in the valley where a large American car remained parked by the boundary gate. A lone Harvard droned in the sky in the wake of a storm. The clean atmosphere of the mountains was beginning to develop bands of smoke haze. Back in Johannesburg, we found a home and I got a job with a lead soft-ing bookseller, while David went to day school and excelled in all he did. But there was no fresh air in the basement of this great bookshop, and my heart condition became worse. I struggled on, however, and the bank would help me as long as I had a steady income. There was nothing left for us now in Natal, the land of my birth, where relatives of mine were settled in safe security on vast acres of rolling grasslands. I felt homesick, and a deep sadness entered my heart as the thought shivered through my mind. Only the African side of my adopted family offered us a home in the dry, open spaces of the Transvaal. I loved them for that, and would never forget their thoughtful gesture. The fresh breeze of the Highveld swept my scarf into my eyes as I crossed Commissioner Street from the bookshop. Suddenly I felt stifled by it all, the crowds of white and black people thronging the street and all the close-packed, noisy, smelly traffic. I felt suffocated by it all and sensed the urgency to get out of this warren of a city with all its devastating noise and bustle. I had to escape back to the Drakensberg. When David's school broke for the holidays, I asked for leave and it was granted, as I had worked long and hard. The light of dawn flushed the eastern sky as David and I, along with Susan and Vicky, headed south in the MG, away from the enfolding wings cast about me by the covetous thoughts of men. The hue and cry would follow me to the farms as the security net cast its subtle and domineering tentacles to subjugate my freedom. They didn't know about Kafkin yet, however, where we could be lost forever in the mountains and only the sea wind would rustle through the long grass, bringing the breath of it as soft hyphen nitty in its damp fragrance. So, away to the open spaces and the far reaches of the sky, away to the freedom of the mountains where I could hear my beloved's voice calling in the lofty distances. His voice was singing in my heart as we moved with the wind from the wide open spaces of the Transvaal to the land of shadows in Natal, a distance of well over 300 miles. The MG responded to my touch on the open road. her perfection of performance maintained for all time after Akan's work on her engine. The great mountains of the dragon shielded our passage as we branched off along a shortcut through Zulu lands. Kathkin beckoned us on with a clarity of atmosphere and grandeur of scenery. A sudden wave of longing saddened my eyes as I thought of my beloved. I recalled the fragrance of the glorious countryside from whence he comes, where the sea breeze plays with the fronds of maidenhair ferns that grow in profusion on the sunlit mountainsides, their delicate tracery of shiny black stems bending and waving to the sea's breath. I thought of my own lovely fern, given to me by Akan on Meetn, and how it was now growing well in my home, acclimated to the dry air of the Hyveld and nourished by love and care. As I thought of these things, the fragrance of Meetn's seas filled my senses, and I knew Akan was near. I stopped the MG on the side of the road and we got out to watch the sky. To the south, enormous thunderheads reared up into the depths of blue, glistening white like great cauliflower heads, clear-cut and brilliant. Suddenly there was a flash in the sky. I took my box camera and pressed it against my chest to steady it as I pointed the lens to the top of the thun-soft Hyfendur clouds. As I did so, Akan's flat, domed spaceship suddenly appeared in the blue sky. It hovered against the great cloud bank, slowly losing height. In that instant, another spaceship appeared against the sky, moving with tremendous velocity, and I pressed the shutter release. As the ship flashed down into the heavy cumulus of the cloud bank, I ran across the road and up the slope. When I reached the hilltop, the spaceships were gone, and the cumulonimbus spread out across the sky from the south. Akan's spaceship appeared again, and I took a series of photographs as it hovered and banked around in the sky. My reflex with the simple Brownie box camera was as instantaneous as the spaceship's appearances. It had to be, or I could not have taken a single picture. A streak of lightning, a blue-white ribbon, darted from hilltop to cloud, and the crash of thunder died to silence before the hills could echo in answer. Triggered into life by the electricity generated within its heart, the fully aroused cumulonimbus, composed of cells that grow, fuse and multiply, moved with its animal-like nature over the hills. I realized that the cloud was repaying my thought with a tingling sensation over my scalp. Positive charges swarmed upward from the ground, using my body as a conductor, to meet the negatively charged leader coming from the cloud, as the earth charge leapt up through the ionized tunnel prepared in the atmosphere by the cloud leaders. Instantly I jumped from the rock on which I was standing, flattening myself in the grass, and rolled down the slope in the nick of time, as the return stroke from the earth shot up through the ionized tunnel to the cloud base, shattering the hardened rock. With the sound of a cracking whip, the air in the channel expanded in a sudden and terrible explosion, and shock waves sent me rolling first soft hyphen there down the steep slope, knocking the breath out of my body. As was my habit, I had put the camera back in its case and strapped it across my shoulder instead of placing it on the rock beside me. The leather strap had broken during my tumble down the hill, but it was otherwise unharmed. As I retrieved the camera, another return stroke flashed with an awful crack from the shattered rock. There was a crashing explosion as the tremendous heat in the lightning's channel expanded in waves of terrific sound. I had had enough. I ran to a large outcrop of rock ledges and shell soft hyphen teared beneath the largest of them, just as a curtain of rain and hail roared across the veldt. I trembled with nervous reaction, and my heart went into a wild soft hyphen cardia. It was completely out of rhythm, and I felt death touch my heart as the crack and crash soft hyphening explosion of lightning return strokes continued. I was not alone in my haven. Birds of all kinds had sheltered there, and they fluttered and twittered in apprehension and uneasy disquiet. A reedbuck came bounding out of the murk of driving hail to nestle beside me, its ears twitching as each lightning crack sounded dangerously close. The calmness and warmth of the reedbuck quieted my heart, and I lay back with my arm over its back as the buck watched me with large, soft brown eyes. After some time, the explosive turbulence died away. We all came out of the shelter, the birds ruffling their feathers and strutting unafraid about my feet. The reedbuck remained still, though, so I sat down again, resting my back against the wall of rock. I needed to rest, and I knew David and the dogs would be safe in the MG. As I sat, I thought about something strange that had happened some weeks before. A major in the British Army had called on me in my cottage in Parkton, and while we were having tea, there was an interruption at the door. I answered it to find a stranger standing there. "Good day, lady," the stranger said. "A grey Ford Zephyr that was parked outside your gate has run away into Empire Road. I watched it pull up on the opposite pavement about a mile down. It went along the road and through the traffic as if it were guided. It was very uncanny. Motor soft-ests coming in the opposite direction nearly crashed into each other in frightened surprise when they saw that car going along the road without a driver, just going straight past them, then turning up the pavement and remaining stationary between the trees. It even missed the trees." He ended, with a cry of amazement. "Perhaps someone was guiding the car," I replied quietly. "Oh no, lady, that's too much." The stranger hurried away to the gate. As he put his hat on and glanced back at me, I saw fear in his eyes. "Good gracious," said the major. "I must have forgotten to put my handbrake on." And he dashed out to rescue his car. I later learned that the major was a high-ranking officer in British intelligence who had been on General Montgomery's staff. He was a very sensitive and highly intelligent man, and a famous artist as well, who had come to South Africa to give a lecture to the Air Force. I felt sure now, though, under the circumstances, that the chief had sent him to look after me. With that thought, I felt a glow of warmth that restored my confidence. The reedbuck suddenly jumped up and bounded away down a grassy slope. There was a rush through the grass and the dogs found me, happy soft-ness shining in their eyes. David threaded quietly through the veldt behind them in his rubber-soled shoes. The sun sets early beyond Cathkin, the peak casting long shadows over the hills. A cold, russet light touched the tops of the grass-mantled slopes, and the ever-changing mountain darkened the tumbling foothills. We sped on in the MG to the haven of the hostel to await Akin's coming. I hoped he would come soon. Although his spaceship was in the skies of Earth, perhaps he would not land. I only had 3 weeks' leave from work before I would have to return to Johannesburg. The time factor on this planet crushed me again with its impact. This was our livelihood here, and I had David, the dogs and the MG to think about, as well as my home and the few precious possessions that gave us some comfort and beauty to live with. But Akin did land. Suddenly one afternoon, his great spaceship was there. There was nothing in the clear sky and then it appeared in all its beauty, hovering close to the ground and gently landing. Completely unnoticed, the ship suddenly appeared in Earth's time field. Only I saw it. I ran to meet Akin. The halcyon days with Akin sped by. At night he would put me to sleep with his healing hands, and my heart returned to its normal rhythm again. We remained in the sanctuary of the mountains, and there was complete peace and happiness. My life had become whole once more in its unity with Akin, as it had when we had created another life to complete this wholeness. One morning, as I awakened in the glow of sunlight, Akin was gone from my side. I looked up into the higher atmosphere and saw his spaceship moving upward, surrounded by a vast condensation cloud. Still in Earth's time frequency, the spaceship glowed with a deep golden amber inside its departure field. And then it was gone, leaving behind a vast rotating cloud, its top smoothed off into a cap cloud by the frigid heights and its base like a wake of lines of magnetic force within the atmosphere. The great circular cloud remained in the higher reaches of the sky for the rest of the day, changing and forming into high cirro cumulus with a base of alto cumulus. The wind patterns moved it gradually across the sky as cirrostratus, and it caught the golden red rays of the sun, creating a covenant of color made of ice crystals in the high, milky cobweb veil. Akin was gone, back into the fathomless reaches of space beyond our solar system, away into those fathomless distances of velvet space. He was heading for the great blue-white star known on Earth as Vega in order to make a scientific surveillance of that distant star.